Welcome to the Divine Feminine CEO. I'm your host, Rachel Lowenhertz, and this podcast is your portal into yourself, your place in the world, and how you desire to show up as you. This is a place for you to be sovereign, to make change, to master your destiny, and create a life that's crazy aligned with who you're meant to be. But who is that? And how do you manifest her? Enter, my love, and discover. Hello, beautifuls. Welcome back. I am recording this podcast on the new moon. This is probably being released a couple of weeks later, but the day that I'm recording this, it's Tuesday, May 11th, which is the first day of this new moon cycle in Taurus, this Earth moon, which is a really beautiful shift. And I wasn't planning on recording a podcast today, but something happened earlier with my son, and I had been sitting a lot already with this idea of sovereignty. And we've talked about this before. You know, this podcast is called The Divine Feminine CEO. And when we think about a CEO, the very essence of a CEO is someone who is sovereign. They are the visionary, the owner, the arbiter of their destiny. But sovereignty means a lot more than that. And I want to explore that because what I went through today is bringing up a lot of emotions and insights around sovereignty, both in life, but also in business if you're an entrepreneur. So today I want to explore with you what it means to really stand in your own power. Because it is very, very easy for us to give our power away. And often that's because we don't really understand what power truly means. And when I talk about power, I'm not referring to power in the world, power over others. I'm talking about your own authentic inner sovereignty and what that means for your ability to manifest and move through the world. And part of the reason this feels so present for me today is Gideon, my son, turns 5 on Saturday. And this is a big birthday, and I've witnessed some very interesting shifts in him over the last couple of weeks. He has really moved from being a little kid to a big kid, and I've seen him through many different situations start to claim his own sovereignty. For him, it's showing up a little bit like a 5-year-old teenager. And if you're a parent, you may have gone through this with a 3-nager or a 4-nager. For Gideon, it's happening now at 5. And as he's making this transition, he starts kindergarten in the fall, I'm starting to see a shift in our parent-child dynamic. And what I've noticed is that this is bringing up a lot of feelings within me, because when your child starts to claim their own sovereignty, you start to realize that you actually, as a parent, don't have control over much. So the years when our children are very, very small, we can baby-proof the house. We can check on them at night to make sure that they're still breathing. We can make sure that they're not swallowing the Legos. But at a certain point, our children step into their own agency, and we all went through this transition in our own lives, whether it was acknowledged or not by our own parents or by society. In many indigenous cultures around ages 5, 6, 7, kids would go through a ritual to acknowledge this sovereignty. In Western cultures today, we have bat mitzvahs if you're Jewish, or confirmations for those of the Christian faith. We have these rituals that mark this claiming of our sovereignty, of our adulthood in some cases. But as I've witnessed this dynamic shift between myself and Gideon, I'm having to redefine what sovereignty means for me. Because as a parent, I've been used to being in control of certain situations. But here's the thing about power and sovereignty. What sovereignty truly means is that we are able to find an authentic center point within ourselves. And we are able to make decisions and move through life in alignment with that center point. So what does that actually mean? I'm going to give you a few examples of how we can tell when our power is distorted and what honoring our inner sovereignty looks like, because this is really, really important. Because there are some situations in life where we don't have power. Power is taken away from us. Sometimes those lead to trauma. But there are a lot of other times when we unintentionally give our power away. Pardon me while I take a sip of water. Where we're not trying to give our power away, but when we end up out of alignment with that center point, we end up giving that power away. And sometimes that happens when we're trying to claim something that's not ours. Maybe if you're an entrepreneur and you see somebody in the business space and they're doing really well and you think, my message should be like that. I should be teaching that thing. Well, if that's not authentic for you, modeling what you do after them is an example of distorted power because you are not claiming what is yours. Now, it's not that it's bad to learn from others, absolutely, and take what does feel authentic for you. But when we try to model ourselves after others, that's one example of inauthenticity and that distorted power. Another would be something situational. So, in a parent-child relationship, trying to, force your kid to eat their broccoli, for example. And if you're a parent, you may have been in this exact situation. Trying to force them to eat that broccoli, in that moment, we are trying to gain control over the situation. And sometimes that means that we're not actually acting from a place of inner sovereignty. And that's where that battle of wills can arise with our kids. A wonderful litmus test for whether you are acting from your own authentic sovereignty is looking at your motivation. So whether you are acting out of love or fear. And typically when we act out of love, that tends to be something that is authentic to us and that is in alignment with our inner sovereignty. When we act from fear, whether those are fears of scarcity, of expectation, that typically involves more of a pushing energy rather than more of an effortless flow. That's an example of distorted power. So I'm going to give you a few examples to bring this to life a little bit more for you. So let's talk about love versus fear. So one example that's come up for me this month is, I'm deep into this sabbatical. And I've really been sinking into this healing process and doing this deep work around releasing trauma and working with kind of some of these repressed emotions that have been there for years. And I'll be honest, it's an extremely painful process. It's not easy. And I'd like to be on the other side of it. I would like it to be done faster. And what I have found is that I keep trying to push the process. I'm trying to push the healing to be faster. Now that's not from a place of love because the choice of love in this instance is honoring that process, honoring that this is what my body and my soul need to move through right now. And that honoring, well, that's a decision from love. And when we make choices out of love, that's a very expansive energy. And when we expand our energy, that opens us up to abundance. So if you're an entrepreneur, this probably feels very pertinent to business decisions where abundance literally translates to money. If you're not an entrepreneur, abundance might feel like an abundance of time or energy. There are lots of other ways that this shows up in our life. When we push out of fear, that contracts our energy. It's literally a shrinking, which is the opposite of abundance. And typically, when we are able to tune into what is really authentic for us and our unique essence, when we make a decision out of love, it feels joyful. So when you start to look at the motivations behind choices that you're making, things that you decide to do, if you're feeling joy, it's probably from a place of love. And that means that you are standing in your sovereignty and you are in your power. And my guess is that in those situations, you probably feel very energized. It probably feels very effortless. When we make choices from fear, like, oh, I should be on the other side of this because I fear facing these emotions that are coming up as I move through this healing, that's a contraction and it tends to feel very stuck, which isn't what we want in our lives. We want effortless flow. So those are some examples around making choices from love versus fear and this idea of honoring what is from love, what is truly authentic within ourselves. And we'll talk more about tuning in with that authentic essence in another podcast, but I wanted to share this today because May is a very potent time to explore this concept of sovereignty and our inner authority. So the second example here, when it comes to distorted power, is looking at authenticity versus expectation. And often this has to do with our energy drains. And we've talked about this a little bit before, this idea that our energy level, it's like a cup. And we only have so much in that cup. And if we pour out of that cup, we have to fill it. Now, in today's modern society where we're hustling all the time, most of us have chronically empty cups. We have more energy drains than we do have things that are filling that cup. So when we think about standing in our sovereignty, in that power, well, it takes energy to stand in your own power. And most of us don't have an overflowing abundance of energy. So the best way to fill your cup is to start to look at what is draining you. Again, this is a place where you can look at joy as a litmus test. What is bringing you joy in life? What's not bringing you joy? If it's not bringing you joy, then in some form, it's an energy drain. So as you start to explore that, see if you can get to kind of the seed of that drain. What's really driving it? And I'll give you an example to bring this to life. So I've been thinking a lot about authenticity lately because as I've been on this sabbatical and I haven't been spending as much time working or really any time working other than this podcast, I've naturally fallen into doing a lot more around the house for my son, doing all the drop-offs and the pickups. And for a while, this felt great because I've always dreamt of being a full-time mom and homemaker, and I've never had the opportunity to experience that before. But as I've continued to fill this role, I've started to realize that this isn't authentic for me. And the way that that's coming up is I've started to think about what happens when I do decide to go back to work. And I've been experiencing this fear around how will I keep doing all of this when I'm working? How will I do all of these things? And in feeling that fear arise, it's helping me focus on, wow, okay, this is a sign that this isn't authentic for me. Because if this isn't bringing me joy, and what is calling to me is going back to work and the knowledge that that will bring me joy, and I feel this overwhelm, well, where is this resistance coming from? And what I realized is that I actually need to hire some help. I need to just take the plunge and hire a nanny, maybe full-time, maybe part-time. But in tuning into this authenticity and realizing these things that I thought would fulfill me are actually draining me as I do them long-term and grappling with the expectation that because I'm doing them now, I should always do them and I should still do these things. I should literally be the super mom that can work full-time or part-time and do all of the things that a full-time mother and homemaker would do. Well, that expectation isn't what is authentic for me. I mean, let's be honest here. No one can really do all of the things. So if the things have to get done, well, I have to hire help. So exploring that resistance around why am I reluctant to do so? Where does that guilt come from? These are all the things that prevent us from standing in our own power. when we succumb to the expectations that we hold for ourselves that aren't necessarily coming from inside, but are coming either from society or past conditioning, from our upbringings, or simply from what we see on social media and that we think should bring us ease, but is not necessarily realistic. So when you tune in to the roles that you are currently holding, the projects that you want to do, which of those have you taken on out of expectation versus authenticity? And my guess is that the ones that feel truly authentic for you are not drains, they're energy boosts. But the ones that come from a place of expectation, those are probably draining the life out of you. And as you start to release those, you will have so much more energy to put into your own sovereignty. Because to be the CEO of your life, to be this visionary, well, that requires saying no. It requires making decisions about what to do and what not to do. And being a sovereign means that you are the king or queen of your kingdom. You are the one making the decisions. There's no one above you. There's no one that you're trying to emulate. You are making the decisions to create the realm you desire from your own inner authority, because you are the authority of your life. Now, let's be real here. Most of us listening to this podcast are not actually kings and queens of a realm, of a physical country, but we are the kings and queens of our own life. I'm not saying that it's easy to release those expectations, but when we start to bring awareness to where our choices are coming from, we can begin to see where our drains are and what is filling us up, what is filling our cup with joy, because it's coming from a place of authenticity. And when we make choices from expectation, from fear rather than love, that's where we tend to give our power away to other people, to society, to our family members, whether that's through an energy leak or simply the cost of wearing a mask that's not authentic. So let's talk now, and this is the final point we'll cover. We talked about making choices from love versus fear, authenticity versus expectation, and now we're going to talk about what it really means to look inward for your own inner authority, for your sovereignty. Because something that I have noticed within myself on this sabbatical is that even though I know to look out for this, I have been looking for answers for what to do next in my business, with my personal life. Should I have more kids? Should I pivot? And I've been listening to wisdom advisors. I've been learning from them. I've been consulting mentors. Now, these things in and of themselves aren't bad. Everyone should have a wisdom council. Everyone should surround themselves with minds that they aspire to be like or learn from. However, what I've been finding is that I've been feeling stuck. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had that analysis paralysis where suddenly you've gotten all this information and some of it aligns and some of it doesn't and you don't know what to do? Well, at the end of the day, the only person who can make those decisions is me. It's you. It's the inner authority that lives in all of us. And when we look to others to make the choices, to just tell us what to do because it would be so much easier, we give our power away. Because at the end of the day, you are the only person who can access your sovereignty, the authority that lives within you, that is in alignment with you and your essence. Now, it's very, very tempting to give this power away, because sometimes it's easier. These decisions that I'm grappling with, they're big ones. They're really, really big ones on an existential level, when it comes to finances. It would be so easy to just have someone tell me the right thing to do. And I see this a lot with those that I coach and in the business space. You know, people want easy answers. I would like easy answers. But at the end of the day, no one knows what is truly in alignment for you except you. And it's hard. I'll be honest, I would love for somebody to just tell me whether or not I should try to have another child after all that I've been through. It would be great to know definitively what I'm supposed to do, but no one can tell me that. Only I can tell me that. And I can only do it from a place where I'm fully healed, which is where those decisions from a place of love come into play rather than fear. It's the difference between deciding I'm going to have another child because I am ready to bring more joy into the world versus looking at my upcoming birthday and saying, oh no, Rachel, you're running out of time. You'd better just do it. Very different choices, very different energetic experience. And one is from a place of power and abundance, and one is from a place of fear and contraction. So I encourage you, as you sit with this, to really start to look at the motivations that are driving the choices you make. Are you acting from a place of love or fear? And let joy be your guide when you look for that answer. Are you taking projects on in your life that are truly authentic? Or are you trying to meet others' expectations? Are you looking to others to make the decisions for you, to give you the easy answer because finding it within yourself is just so darn hard? Or are you taking the time to go within, even when that's painful, even when it's unclear, and even when it takes time? These are the inquiries that will lead you to your sovereignty, your own power. And the beauty behind claiming that power and stepping into your sovereignty is that manifesting the reality you do desire becomes clear, it becomes easy, and it becomes fast. And this was exactly the experience I had when I started the Uncorporate about a year ago now. It was easy, it was clear, and it was fast because I was honoring what was in alignment for myself. I wasn't pushing. I was doing only things that brought me joy, and my business took off beyond my wildest expectations. It was actually when I began to look at others, what they were doing, what their message was, what business model they were using, that my business started to become less fun. So I'll just let you sit with that. Where in your life are you experiencing joy? Where are you not experiencing joy? And as you tune into that drain, how can you release it so that you can feed that energy back into what is authentic? And with all of that power, with all of that focus behind what is authentic for you, imagine how easy it will be to create what it is that you truly desire. So, I'll bring this back to the story I shared at the beginning of this episode with Gideon. I'll give you a few more details. We got a call from his school earlier today that there was a little issue, a little challenge, a little initiation. And in that moment, I was thrown out of my inner sovereignty. It was very clear that he is in his sovereignty. And there's nothing that I can do to shift his actions, shift his feelings. So as we go through life, standing in our own inner sovereignty means tuning in to what is authentic and aligned for us in the moment. And from there, from that place of center, we can do what is required. We can show up in the ways that we are needed by our family, by our world, and by ourselves. So my loves, I'll leave you with that for today. If this was meaningful for you, please go ahead, screenshot the podcast and post it on Instagram or reach out to me anytime. I'm sending you so much light and love as you explore your own power and step into your sovereignty. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for joining me on this journey to sanctity, sovereignty, and sustainability. You bring such joy to my soul, and I want to hear from you. You can tag me on Instagram at uncorporette or email me anytime at rachel@uncorporette.com. I love to hear from you and I create for you, so please reach out. And finally, if this episode was meaningful for you, please leave me a review. This is how others will find the podcast. And as you know, it's my mission to activate the divine feminine CEOs I know will change the world. You're one of them, my love. So thanks for being here.